Let's turn now to the current conflict between Israel and Hamas. Rocket fire and airstrikes have resumed after a short-lived humanitarian ceasefire ended earlier today. The UN had asked both sides to pause fighting so that people in the Gaza Strip could get out to buy food and take care of essential business. NPR's Emily Harris joins us now from Gaza, where she's been for the past week. And Emily, what has it been like in Gaza today?
It's been quite different here in Gaza City, at least, than it has been the past week. After 10 a.m., after this humanitarian window ceasefire started, people began coming out of their homes, and the banks got big lines at them right away, people trying to withdraw their salaries, fighting over the ATM windows. At this one bank I went to, there was a long, long line and a bunch of guys at the front elbowing each other to get access to the buttons, and a group of nine women off to the side waiting their turn. Somebody might let them in. There were lines still at banks even after the humanitarian ceasefire window closed around 3. In shops, I went to a bakery where they had gone back to normal production of pita, producing the usual numbers of pita bread that they do, even though they had been cutting their production by half this week. People were out just to be outside, see other people. There was traffic for the first time in a week.
Now, yesterday, the first person killed in Israel during this fighting was buried. He was killed by a rocket from Gaza when he was distributing care packages to soldiers stationed along the Gazan border for a possible ground invasion. Across the border in Gaza, four young boys were killed on the beach. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I actually heard these strikes that killed these four boys. It happened just about a block away from where I was staying. And I've heard a lot of strikes in the past week. These were the loudest I'd heard yet. And so everyone who's staying here went downstairs, looked around, and found the spot it had hit. There were Palestinians, you know, running down there to the beach. Today we spoke to one of the boys, another cousin. These boys were cousins, and we spoke to another cousin who had been with them playing on the beach. And he said they were playing before the airstrikes hit. They were playing the version here of Cops and Robbers, which is Arabs and Jews. And they were dividing up who was who when the airstrikes hit.
Now, has any progress been made at all on the possibility of a full ceasefire?
Well, it seems there is work toward that. Progress is hard to measure. There are reports in the Israeli press and the Egyptian press of delegations from Hamas and from Israel in Cairo. There are reports of a ceasefire deal, although that's been denied by Israel's foreign minister. I spoke to representatives of Hamas and Islamic Jihad a few hours ago, and they said it seems that some progress is being made, but nothing was confirmed.
So what continue to be the main obstacles towards getting closer to a permanent ceasefire?
Israel is still debating internally what they want the result of this so far 9-day war to be. There's some talk of disarming Hamas, how that would be done. That's a big challenge. For one, Hamas is unlikely to agree to that. And the spokesperson with Islamic Jihad I spoke to today really laughed at that notion. And weapons are around here. They're deeply embedded here. Today, the United Nations actually announced that it had found rockets hidden in an empty storeroom in one of its schools. It said this is the first time it's discovered this type of activity in the Gaza Strip, and was very outraged in its statement because the United Nations schools here are seen as a neutral sanctuary. On the Palestinian side, the militant factions here in Gaza have a range of political demands. The primary one is access to the outside world. That would likely come through Egypt, travel for people who live here, and a greater flow of commercial goods. They also are asking for the release of Palestinian prisoners, and they want elections to be held in the Palestinian territories to get Palestinians back to one government and end this more than 7-year divide between Hamas ruling Gaza and Fatah in the West Bank.
Now, Emily, and during every single day of this current conflict, there's been a major lingering question about whether or not Israel will choose to launch a ground invasion into Gaza. Today, what are the chances of that?
I would say it's still an option, certainly. The question is whether a ground invasion would bring about the results that Israel wants. what the result, the end result should be, is being debated within Israel. And the risk to a ground invasion is a higher cost for Israel in money, certainly in time, in potentially Israeli lives. The question that is at the center of the Israeli debate around this is, what difference could a ground invasion make?
NPR's Emily Harris reporting from Gaza. Thank you, Emily.
Thank you.
Now, there have been photos published around the world of the site where those four boys in Gaza were killed. We had an amazing conversation with the New York Times' Tyler Hicks, who took some of those photographs. You can see the pictures and listen to that conversation at our website, hereandnow.org.